So Elijah got fire and rain. Make a few more comments on changing the atmosphere and we'll be done. But I do have a book. This is by Tim Sheets, Dutch Sheets brother, Planning the Heavens. I advise you to get this. This is a lot of rich stuff dealing with prayer and your words, declarations, and how to plant the heavens over your territory, your life, your territory. He deals with the whole thing with Ecclesia. I was going to read you a couple things out of here, but it's called Planting the Heavens by Tim Sheets. All right? Here's what he said the job of the Ecclesia is, and he's right. I checked it out. I've been studying this. I do research on it as well. But he did a good job of laying out what Jesus meant by all this, the Ecclesia. Here's what he said the job of the Ecclesia is. Number one, they made decisions on suggested law and final decisions on new law. So the Ecclesia was involved in laws. Decisions on suggested law and final decisions on new laws. The final decisions of all law was left to the Ecclesia. He said, do not think Jesus didn't know what he was talking about when he said this. Number two, appointments to official positions. Voting was for magistrates or for those who held an office. So they made the decisions of who get appointed to office. Their positions. Number three, both internal and external policies in the region included contracts, treaties, war, peace, and financial matters for the region was left for the Ecclesia to decide. So both internal and external policies in the region, including contracts, treaties, war, and peace, and financial matters for the region. They're involved in policy making. He said this was decided by the Ecclesia. The next one is the Ecclesia would rule on cases of treason. Someone was involved in treason, they would be brought before the Ecclesia. And they would vote and decide their guilt or their innocence. Next one is the Ecclesia could summon for its army to assemble for war. And this is something totally different concept. This is kingdom. This is kingdom. This is what Jesus said he was raising up. Could summon for its army to assemble for war. The Ecclesia had command of the military, which is certainly a lot of authority. The next one is the Ecclesia ruled on societal and cultural matters for its geographical location and territory. Jesus said the Ecclesia is to set the cultural standard for a region. And the last one was the Ecclesia chose by upraised hands who would sit at the Areopagus, which was the high court of Athens, the Supreme Court. The Ecclesia decided. Isn't that something? That's what Jesus said he was raising up. It would do you a lot of good if you get that book and understand and begin to study that and study Matthew 16 in the context of what Jesus meant, because that's what we're shifting to. And it's going to make a whole lot of difference when you're praying from that position. And we will see breakthrough and answers when we're praying from a position of who we are as an ecclesia in the earth. So it's amazing that God is restoring that understanding to his church and not just we belong to the Lord to be a fellowship group. You know, and that's all good. We build relationships that way and fellowship. But the Lord is restoring the understanding of ecclesia to us as well. We are government. So just a few more comments on changing the atmosphere. Didn't you like that about Elijah? But look at those patterns. Because regions and cities, families, homes, all have personalities, atmospheres, personalities. And a climate is either conductive or repulsive to the presence of God. Atmosphere is that which is around you. The atmosphere is around us. It's the spiritual realm that's around us is an atmosphere. And it's either good or bad. This is how culture is formed in a community. A spiritual influence is exerted on that community, either good or bad. It's around us. It could be heaven's atmosphere or it could be hell's atmosphere. It could be light or darkness. And sometimes when you moving in the spirit, I've seen this. When I'm moving in the spirit and prayer and in deliverance, I've seen it. I've seen dark atmosphere lift off of people that I was praying for. And their whole countenance changed. I had one lady who I didn't know she was dying, but I was in a meeting at a church. I wasn't a speaker there, but I was a part of that fellowship at the time. And there was a Wednesday night meeting. They had different people teaching. Sometimes they had me teaching different people. But I was there, and the pastor was sharing that Wednesday, and he said, "Well, before we start, I want to pray for Sister so-and-so, who we started praying for her Sunday, but she's got to go in. It's a serious situation, and she's got to go in." He said, "I won't get into details of medical condition this week." She was sitting there, and I could see. I don't know how to explain it, but I could see the spirit, just the spirit of death on her. I mean, her whole counter, everything was looked like death to me. That's the only way I can describe it. And I was like, "Oh my goodness, this is the first time I this ever happened." And I'm sitting there looking. So she had an atmosphere of death on her. And so they prayed for her. And I just kind of stayed back because I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. So I just kind of lingered, you know, while they were praying to the back. And I was just going, "Lord, break this spirit of death off this lady." I could see it. You know, I'm praying and agreeing with the pastor and those that was praying, the elders that was there praying for her. And they were done, and I went and sat down, and they all sat down, and the pastor, I know him well, he was getting ready to share, and the Holy Spirit, I could see this thing on this lady. I mean, I'm sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, Lord, what do I do with this?" You know, I was like, "What do I do with this?" And the Lord said, I had a clear word of knowledge, so clear, the Lord says, That's the spirit of death on her. And he said, it's linked to an iniquity in her bloodline. And he said this, that it's in her, the problem is in her intestines. I mean, that kind of word. And he said, and then he said to me, "I want you to go up and I want you to pray for her. And I want you to release the anointing in her intestines." I had never heard anything like this. So I was sweating back there and didn't know, do I interrupt? So before Pastor got started, I said, "Well, wait a minute. He knows me, you know." I said, "We're not done. I just heard the Lord." He's like, come on. So I told them all of this, and they was like, "Oh, my gosh, yes." And I did exactly what the Lord told me to do. And the following couple weeks, like 2 or 3 weeks later, they were having, it was almost around Halloween, and they were just trying to get the kids off the street. They wasn't having a Halloween party. They were having, you know, something for the kids to keep them off the street. And it was good, actually, what they were doing. They didn't get it. But anyway, me and my wife and kids went around there, and I saw the lady on the other side of the room, and I knew she was here because totally different. I could see, like, the light, the glory of God was on her countenance. I mean, she was lit up. And I go, "Oh, my God." And she saw me, and she grabbed the hand. Now, her husband, she couldn't get him to come to any prayer meeting or nothing. And by the way, this lady used to show up every week to the prayer meeting. with this atmosphere on her. And the minute she walked in the room, the prayer meeting, the whole prayer meeting went, because she walked in with that spirit on her, that atmosphere on her. And when I saw her, she came over, and we caught eyes. She brought her husband over and said, "I got to introduce you to my husband." She said, "This is the guy." Turns out, she said, "I was dying. I was totally healed. I went in. They couldn't find it, and it was in my intestines." And then one of the elders of the church told me, he said, it was her intestines. He said she literally was dying from it. And praise God. I mean, you know, it was totally God, because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I had never experienced that before. And she was healed. And guess what? Her husband started coming to the prayer meeting because his wife got healed. So that atmosphere can be on the individual. You can see it on people as you're out in the community. Or that atmosphere, like in Genesis, that darkness, it could hover over an entire community. Sometimes you can see it in the spirit realm, a dark situation over. Sometimes it'll hover over a house, a certain house, or a certain building. Sometimes you can see atmospheres. And you can see the Holy Spirit on people. You can see the Holy Spirit. I've seen the presence of God like a mist sometimes. And meetings, the prayer meetings, and worship meetings, just the presence of God hovering like a mist. I've seen that. I've got glimpses of that. So atmosphere could be either good or bad. It's usually both. That's just the way it is, because some people are drawing dark atmosphere and some people are drawing the light. You know, us that's worshiping the Lord, we should be drawing in His presence, His light. It should be around us, that glory. We should be carrying that, and people should see it on us. And actually, a lot of people that operate in the cult room, if you walk in where they're at, they can see the light on you. They get a little nervous. They'll back off. They won't get near you. Yeah, they can see it. You know, just like we can see what's on them. But yeah, you can. It's in a community as well. So atmospheres can be good or bad, right? So what happens is when these atmospheres are created around us. And like I say, it's just the spirit realm around you. And what happens is, if these atmospheres are sustained long enough, it develops like what they call a climate, a certain climate now, or a prevailing trend or a prevailing opinion or aspect of life in the community. It's something now that's sustained. Turns into a climate. From the atmosphere that's around you, good and bad, if that atmosphere is sustained long enough, good or bad, it develops a prevailing climate, mood or prevailing opinion or a certain aspect of life. And I'm sure you could think of many things there. All right? If you look at 2 Corinthians 10:5, I won't turn there now, but it talks about this. If you read that whole chapter there, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty through God. Then Paul talks about what the strongholds, or if it's sustained long enough, the climate, it could be something like a stronghold, a thought process. You know, it's a mindset long enough. These strongholds are created. If a climate is sustained, it will create a belief system. Now you're going deeper. Belief systems are a set of principles and tenets which together form the basis of religion, philosophy, or moral code. If that good or bad atmosphere is sustained long enough, it's really developing a culture, a belief system. And you personally or communities have belief systems. You have corporate belief systems. Usually people of influence that's in places of influence, if they have a certain belief system, does with anything, as we know, if they get into places of influence with that belief system, they're going to push that belief system long enough. And if they do that long enough and it's not dealt with, it'll become a corporate belief system. And then we start legislating it into law, like abortion, homosexuality. All of a sudden now, start legislating, making laws, making it legal. See, because that's because it moves from a personal belief system with people of influence, or a group of people with influence, gained influence, and that was sustained long enough to the point where it turned into a philosophy or a set of principles people live by. Culture now is formed. Values now, social practices are formed. People now, and a whole community can come under this. Excuse me. A whole community can come under certain philosophies and belief systems and practices. Morals are set. So it's important for the church to understand how to do what it takes to draw heaven's atmosphere, the presence of the Holy Spirit, which in Genesis, again, he's hovering, to draw his atmosphere, and while he's hovering, to do what it takes to sustain his atmosphere. And to allow him to change our mindsets as the people of God, and to create in us a kingdom culture where our belief system, our tenets, and our philosophy, you know, what we think is kingdom, is God's principles. And we apply God's principles. And as we get into places of influence, we're releasing that in intercession, as well as releasing that as principles in the community. It works both ways. So atmospheres can be created by worship, our conversation. Boy, that's a big one. By conversation, we can create an atmosphere. If we're not praying right, we're creating an atmosphere. This is why it's so important in intercession prayer to hear what the Spirit is saying and know the Word. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I just gotten a scripture to read quickened to me. I just turn to it and I read it because the Holy Spirit quickened it. So now it's life and it's coming out as I'm reading it. It's not a dead letter. It's life, but it's the Word of God. To know the Word, know what God's saying, and hear the Spirit. And we got to, in our conversations, we got to have conversation that's edifying to the Lord. I mean, in Malachi, the Lord said he write down, he keep in a book people that's sitting around talking about him. Did you know that scripture in Malachi? So he records. It's in Malachi somewhere. But it says he'll record the conversation. And that conversation, because there's life and death and the power of our words, is setting an atmosphere. That's why when something like chaos is going on, that's why you got to turn off the news, because that's an atmosphere that'll be coming into your home if we constantly got this on and all that negativity, all of that, it's a lot of, you know, lies and accusations and fear and you know. That'll overwhelm you. And before you know it, that atmosphere is hovering in your house or even in your mind and in your emotions. It'll work its way in the emotions, and people start responding out of that fear and that atmosphere that they've allowed to take in. That's why it's very important to hear what the Lord is saying and know his word and speak his word, pray his word, decree his word, pray it over and over, and not allow the atmosphere of heaven, of life, and heaven to surround us. And if we do this long enough through worship, through prayer, in our communities corporately, and if we get outside, if we take what we do in here and go down into the town square somewhere in a little park and do it publicly, guess what that's doing to our community? So it's important. Corporate worship changes the atmosphere. Corporate prayer and intercession, worship, conversation. Do you know miracles change the atmosphere? I'm sorry. You can have also, like, another example would be Nazareth. There was a corporate unbelief atmosphere there in the whole space. Nazareth. Jesus couldn't. He healed a few people and he started teaching them because the atmosphere was so charged with unbelief. And he could do it. It's just that, and he was there to do it. But I find it interesting, he wouldn't do much of nothing in that atmosphere of unbelief. It was a corporate level of it. See, that atmosphere had been sustained there to the point where the people was responding and operating out of unbelief. Doubt, fear, unbelief. And it hindered their discernment. Because they looked at Jesus. Here, he's God in the flesh. He's there with all power. And he was there to work miracles. He was there to do some stuff. But because of that level of unbelief, and it was at a corporate level, it hindered their discernment because they couldn't discern who he was and what he was there to do. They couldn't discern him by the Spirit, I should say. So here's what they say. Oh, that's just Joseph's son, the carpenter. So God could show up in a community ready to do stuff, but if the people of God is not discerning or under this atmosphere of unbelief, it could hinder what God wants to do in the community. So we got to pray in faith, prayer of faith. We got to pray from a position of faith. We got to know that everything that needs fixing in our community, Jesus has already paid for it at the cross. And we got to know that we're not trying to take anything from God. We're taking it from the devil. God has already freely given it. Because before Joshua ever went into the land to change the atmosphere of the whole Canaan land, that promised land, God told him before he ever went in, I already given it to you. He's already given out in the whole county. He's already given it to the hands of the church. Before we ever get up and do anything, it's already done. I just need you to go in and change it. And if we do this long enough and sustain it, it'll bring in an atmosphere of heaven and sustain that over the community. Go ahead. Well, a miracle is a power encounter, is a demonstration of God's Spirit. And usually when Jesus went in to do miracle, or Paul the apostles, or even in Acts 19, extraordinary miracles, usually you'll see like an uproar or sometimes riots because the demons go crazy. All of a sudden that atmosphere now has been messed with by a power encounter of the Holy Spirit. And it'll open it up for evangelism, for revival. I believe that's how we're going to see revivals break out, where it's going to be a power encounter of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden people are going to be... Because here's what happens. When Jesus... You can see this all through Acts, too, the early church. When they would go into these places was where demons was worshipped, sickness, disease, that was the atmosphere of darkness. Because diseases are the devil. Acts 10:38 says Jesus was anointed by God. The Holy Spirit went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So the devil is the atmosphere of darkness. So when you come in and a miracle happened, like what I just told you with this lady, it changed her atmosphere. That darkness left her by a miracle. You see what I mean? So this can happen in a whole community.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good one. Yes. Yep, you got it. So repentance also, and worship, repentance changes an atmosphere because God loves repentance. That's not a bad word. That's a good word. Changes, because really repentance, the word metanoia, it means to think differently. It means a new mindset that changes the atmosphere around us. And then when we do this on a corporate level, repentance, identifying with the sins of the land, that changes the atmosphere of a whole community because God responds to that. See, that's the thing. That's how you change. See, we got to do the things. We just got to do what God tells us to do. And when we do that, the atmosphere of heaven responds. And he moves in and he'll start permeating the whole area. That's why he says, and I'll be done with this. By the way, praying in tongues changes the atmosphere, release atmosphere of revelation over you, as well as builds up your faith. Yes, that changes the atmosphere, praying in the spirit. All right, so this is why he tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And you know it, we all know it. In verse 13, he says, if I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, again, that's an atmospheric issue. If the heavens are shut, there's no rain. Like in Elijah, that's what happened. The heavens are shut, there's no rain. He had to go in that intercession to change that atmosphere, that situation. He said, if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among the people, this is God talking. God says, command locusts to defile, and if I send pestilence among the people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves, humility, which is the process to change the atmosphere right here. Because again, humility, James, the book of James said he give great grace to those who humble themselves. Grace is released. You know, grace. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Grace. Grace is the supernatural power of God. Grace is His supernatural power. Titus, I can't think of the exact address, but it says, for the grace of God appeared to every man, which is Jesus, and He teaches us to say no to ungodliness. So an atmosphere of grace comes in and empowers us over ungodliness in a community. It teaches us to. You can pray this stuff in and also walk it out. But humility, he gives grace. He releases grace. Honor. For honor comes humility. Humble. We got to humble ourselves. And he says, and then pray. Humility, prayer. Change all changes the atmosphere. And then God goes on to say, not only humility and prayer, but he says, seek my face. Now, that's interesting to me because that means I can pray and never seek his face. Because the word face there is the same word for presence in the Hebrew. The word face and presence means the same thing in Hebrew. It's the same word. So when God says seek his face, he says seek my presence. Or if you say seek my presence, he means seek his face. See, you see me in here. You have my presence with you. My face is here. See, so he say, go. Not only pray, but you got to seek my presence because it's his presence that changes the atmosphere. And see, we can pray and pray and pray and never seek his presence. That is something we got to watch for. The Lord said, pray and seek my face, my presence. And turn from their wicked ways. He's talking to his people. And that's wicked ways is anything that's displeasing to God. That's all wicked way. If it's displeasing to God, then it's wicked. I mean, you know, it's a war to you just get it's a war sometimes to get people in agreement it's because of the division and the competition and these things. That's wicked. That's displeasing to the Lord.
Because we're one body. So these are things we could be decreeing, uprooting out of our community, the division of, in the house of God, the fighting, the competing, and the jealousies, and all that stuff Paul goes over that works in the church. Accusation, accusing brother, and Satan is the accuser. So he'll work these. See, he'll work this kind of stuff in a community, especially among the church, because he don't want us rising up in our authority. So he'll try to get the church bickering over every little thing and accusing each other over every little thing. Because he know if he can get those accusations out, it pulls in his atmosphere. See, he knows that. So he works to get the conversations, the accusations over time to do this. Because he know what Jesus said when Jesus said a house divided, a city divided won't stand. He knows that. So he works that kind of stuff in. So we got to work to do what the Lord said, to love each other. We got to pray that in our community, the body of Christ, to love and to honor each other, to respect each other, to work together and avoid, the bickering over this petty stuff. Because we want the atmosphere of heaven. And I don't know any other way. I mean, really, if we want the atmosphere of heaven, all of the other stuff, it comes out of love. You know, and this is why Jesus said, the world gonna know you're my disciples by the love you walking among each other, that you have for each other. He said that, then they'll know, the community will know when they see the love, the true love of Christ among us. So that love walk, you draws the atmosphere. And so, you know, and he goes on to say, you know, seek his face, seek his presence, turn from any wicked way that's not. He said, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive, and I'll heal the land. That's right there, and it changes the atmosphere. And so I hope that you go study those patterns, you know, those patterns I gave you. Just meditate on them. My job was just to encourage you today, and you guys got it going. You're moving forward. You're doing really good. And I just felt like the Lord wanted to give you a shot this morning to help you move forward in this new season in a new way as well. So meditate on those and continue to change the atmosphere, and you're going to see breakthrough after breakthrough. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you today. Thank you this morning. I thank you for my brothers and sisters down here in Albion and Orleans County. Thank you, Lord, the work that you started here, you're faithful to complete it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a good work here. You're doing a great work here. Thank you, you have an ecclesia here that's rising up in this county. And I thank you, Lord, this county is under the siege of heaven right now. And you're besieging this county. And you're gonna raise up this county and bring it to the forefront of what you're doing. Lord, you're gonna bring a model out of this county. You're gonna bring a model out of this county. And Lord, you're gonna bring a demonstration of your spirit and power out of this county. Lord, this county is going to experience a demonstration of your power. Lord, you're going to break religious tradition off of this county by moving your Holy Spirit. Lord, your Holy Spirit is going to be so welcomed in this county of Orleans. Your Holy Spirit is going to invade this county. Going to bring great change and great harvest out of this county. Great transformation out of this county. Lord, I decree this whole county is going to be transformed by your Spirit and your Word. So, Lord, we thank you now that the, There's a movement of the Holy Spirit that's supernaturally moving to connect the ecclesia across this county. That, Lord, you're going to connect this county. You're going to connect the believers here, Lord, in every arena of this county, every area. You have people of influence in this county that's already positioned. And, Lord, you're going to connect them. You're going to connect them. And so, Lord, we thank you that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This is your county. And, Lord, we declare your kingdom come into Orleans County and your will be done on earth in Orleans County as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.